show, the main event is what we're about to experience now, one of the central and beautiful things that we do here at Bethel, our confirmation class faith statements. And I said that I don't mind on this Reformation Sunday in any way at all to be on the undercard, because it really is symbolic of what it means to celebrate Reformation Sunday, which talks at a very central place. Jesus talked about the priesthood of all believers, that the faith of the people, the individual's faith journey of life, God works through that so powerfully and centrally in this world. So on this day, we get to experience the stories and the sharing of faith from seven young people who have spent the last year being intentional with mentors and with their parents and with us here at Bethel about what does it mean to live a life of faith. And so I invite you now to open your hearts to be good soil to the Word of God that will be spoken amidst our community this day by these beautiful, gifted, wonderfully cherished children of God.
Hello, I am Gus Brandes. My mentor was Corey Carlson, and my parents are Greg Brandes and Kristen DeHaven. This is my faith statement. What do I believe? This is what I've been trying to find out for the past year, and I think I have finally found it. I believe in God, but not as what is written, but what I have seen in his works. I have seen him all around the world, from India and here in Winchester. When I went to India in 2013, I saw God everywhere, in the orphanages, daycares, and the schools for mental and physically disabled children. In these places, I saw children that were happy, educated, and healthy, when they could be on the streets begging and stealing food. They told me their stories, and I thought, how could this be, coming from a country, and to see what they deal with is amazing. One story stood out to me, a 13-year-old boy who was physically disabled. His legs were deformed and fragile. He could not walk. His father thought he was cursed, so he took him out into the woods one day to be sacrificed to the Hindu gods. But before the father could kill his son, God came to him. The father did not kill his son, and he converted to Christianity. He learned that the boy was not cursed. He was just medically disabled. Besides all the things I've seen in other countries, I've seen a lot of things here in Winchester, especially in Bethel. When me and the other confirmants had an ice cream party for the group called Our Family, after all of the games, we started talking to them, and one of them said something that stuck to me. We are family. All these people have some sort of mental problem, and in today's modern culture, most people look down upon that. To see a group of people who don't have much in common become so close and care so much for each other is amazing. What do I believe? I believe in God, but I think this is better stated in this quote. God has no religion, by Gandhi, which means whatever I do, wherever I go, and whatever religion I become, God will always love me.
Hi, I'm Claire Shannabrook. My parents are Kevin and Julie Shannabrook. My wonderful mentor is Judy McKernan, and this is my faith statement. It is early morning, late night, and evening home alone. My computer file reads, Faith Statement Part 5. When I sat down to work on the first version a couple months ago, I didn't think it would be difficult. I'm used to writing papers and speeches, so giving a 2-minute faith statement didn't seem that difficult. I sat down to encounter immediate writer's block. I wasn't satisfied or at peace with anything I was writing. I found that it's one thing to write 7 minutes about a text in the Bible, and it's another to express the utter disorder going on in my brain in less than 400 words. I ended up with pages of fragments and thousands of ideas swirling around in my head. This year, I've learned a lot about myself and am beginning to form an idea of how I want to live. My philosophy class has encouraged me to ask questions such as, what is our purpose? Why are we here? What is human work? And where do you see yourself in 40 years? The goal is to reflect not only about these questions as they relate to humanity as a whole, but also as they relate to oneself personally. This last year has been about learning and gleaning and exposing and wrestling with ideas and beliefs in order to form and express my own opinions. For the most part, a jumble of conflicting ideals still float around fighting each other within my mind. How can I translate that into a speech? There are so many questions. If the only purpose for human life is to praise God or to keep him from getting bored, are we anything more than Sims characters? If the world wasn't created with intention, why is it so incredibly beautiful? I'm conflicted between churches that discriminate and judge, and the people within my own life, my parents, my mentor, my best friend, who daily show me the beauty of believing in a higher power. I'm torn between my own logical, fact-seeking brain and my desire to believe more deeply in God. My desire to seize the beautiful and grateful existence that accompanies deep faith. I like to have evidence so solid that it's indisputable. Is biblical evidence enough to prove that God exists? If you don't believe, the Bible is just historical fiction. But if you do believe, the Bible is God's message to humanity about how to live their lives. I want to live a life that promotes justice. But is that because I believe that every human has certain natural rights owed them simply because they are human? Or because I want to serve and love God by my actions? So I keep asking questions. Questions of self, questions of religion, but most importantly, questions of faith. At the beginning of this year, I wasn't sure if I would be giving a confirmation statement. I was unwilling to stand before you and deliver a message unless it reflected my heart. I'm not standing here with a mature faith. I would like to be there, but I'm not. Not yet. I am, however, making a commitment to live a life as close to God's example as I can, to live and learn within and from a community of faith, and to continue to be brave enough and humble enough to ask questions nobody knows the answer to, in hopes that one day I'll find that answer myself. This year I wrote in a paper on human work that it is my goal to live a life listening to God, being active in the world around me, growing as an individual, and always fighting the inequalities and injustices around me. I am making an active decision to follow Christ, and I'm thankful for the continuing guidance that the Bethel community gives me. My faith statement is a working document. The longer I spend with it, the more it evolves, even with 8 a.m. changes this morning. Like my faith, the more time I spend studying and living in it, the stronger it becomes. So I will trust in that sense of peace I have praying after a hard day. Acknowledge the hubris in thinking we're the biggest thing in this universe. Give thanks for the beauty and possibilities in the world, and ask for the Holy Spirit to work in me and through me on this incredible journey of life, so that fragment can evolve into a complete sentence. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Peyton Grooms. My wonderful mentor is Beth, whose last name I never can remember because I'm horrible with names. And I'm dedicating this to my Bethel family. I'd like to give a big thanks for this great year of confirmation. You all have helped me learn so many new things that I've never known before, and it's just making me really happy. Through this year, we had an opportunity to go to trips for the winter celebration in Caroline Furnace. Those also helped me learn a lot about the Lutheran faith. Because I remember when I was younger, I was like, well, what's the big deal with all these different religions? And then I learned, I was like, oh, there's so many different things, and this helps me so much. And I also made a lot of new friends there who also helped. Morgan right there is one of them. She's a great friend. And I found a verse in the Bible that helped a lot too. Well, not with the faith, but you know. It just helps me. people who work hard sleep well, or they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. And this is a word, the name is something I'm horrible at pronouncing, so forgive me if I say it wrong. It's Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 12. And I chose this one because, out of experience, I'm pretty sure it's true. Because a lot of the times I work really hard and, like, as soon as I hit the bed, I pretty much fall asleep. Like, there's no worrying about waking me up at all. Like, you could probably throw a rock and I wouldn't wake up. But it is also true because people usually consider, this is if somebody is rich, like, yeah, they can work hard, but, like, this is the stereotypical one. If you're rich, you kind of sit around and do nothing. So what it's saying is, like, if you sit around and don't do much, you're probably going to have a hard time falling asleep because your body's like, well, you didn't do anything, so you there's no need for you to go to sleep. So you're going to have a hard time falling asleep, and you might wake up a bunch of times. And it's just logic. I also have a great hope for my future and this church's future. For my hope, I hope that I'll be able to go on a lot of missions and help, like the one to Guatemala. I'm hoping I can go on that one. And I hope for this church you get a lot of new people, because this is a great church. All of you are so nice, and it's just great, because I always feel welcome. And what else? I'm kind of like off, because I kind of went off course of what I wanted to do. I guess that's kind of it. I just hope everyone has a great future, and you'll have happy lives, and we get a whole bunch of new people here.
Hi, I'm Morgan Stevens. My parents are Christopher and Jenny Stevens, and my mentor was Pat Blevins. This is my faith statement. This journey started out as just a way to make my faith stronger and join the church officially. But now, since going through this journey, I have not just grown in my faith, but as a person. I came to this church when I was in middle school, not knowing anyone, being very shy, and staying away from everyone. But this past year has changed everything and has changed my outlook on meeting new people. We've gone through different places and done work for others, which wasn't new to me, but working with people I didn't know was a whole new experience. I went to confirmation camp and finally started talking to the people in our confirmation group, which was scary for me. But I am so glad I went and I made friends with them. I didn't need to be scared anymore. Then later we went to Detroit and I made more friends with the other teens in our church, which was starting to get easy since I already knew some of them that were in our church. But this is only the beginning of my faith journey. Now, knowing the people in my church meant I really had to find out how my faith was growing to change me and mean to me even more than I already knew. Knowing how much my faith actually means to me was a different experience than what I always thought of going to church. I used to just go to church and half listen and sit there and think, faith is really boring if this is how it is. But coming to this church totally changed my outlook. This church brought me closer to God by showing me what I can do. Going to Detroit showed me that so well. I got to help paint this old lady's fence, and the look on her face just made my whole outlook change on how people thought of faith. When helping others, even with the little things, you can totally change the way someone is thinking about their life at that moment. I've always been that person to help wipe their tears if they're crying, or to help them if they're having a bad day. And knowing the part of believing God knows you are doing something good for others that also makes you happy, makes every small experience better than it seems, no matter what the situation. And with this, my favorite Bible verse is Matthew 25, 35 through 36. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you invited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.
Hi, I'm Meredith Sigler, and my mentor was Stephanie Mahan, and my parents are Will and Rebecca Sigler. And, okay. As a 15-year-old in high school who has no idea what she wants to do with her life, faith was another complicated thing to think about. I'm still young, and I haven't experienced any life-changing or awakening moments. I go to school, I come home, I snack for an hour, I go to practice, I come home again, and I do my homework. Life goes on. For a long time, I thought, why be a Christian when most conflicts all around the world were caused by religious disagreement? I didn't really want to be a part of a group the rest of the world labels it as judgmental. I never thought about how much God's work I witnessed until I had to write it all down. I have seen God's work in my life as close as my own neighborhood. A boy named Isaiah, who was 7 years old at the time, was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor. On the way to the hospital for Isaiah's first treatment, his parents heard a Bible verse on the radio. The verse was Isaiah 43:2, and this was what they heard. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. That verse became the motivation and trademark for Isaiah and his family's journey through the troubling times. About a year after hearing that verse, Isaiah is now in remission and living as happy as he was before his cancer. Him and his family have went through a lot, but they never lost hope in themselves and in God. They knew that God wouldn't throw anything at them they couldn't handle, even when they thought they couldn't handle it. I have always admired how my dad's parents lived through their ups and downs of life. They were a military family who ran on barely anything and never knew what to expect. When my grandpa got cancer, it's another cancer story, they didn't give up hope during his sickness. My grandma lived by the quote, "Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain." In my everyday life, I try to think about how grateful I am for my health and things and opportunities I have. Even when I'm going through something tough, I will always try to dance in the rain. That's how I found faith in my grandparents when they went through their journey together and they kept their love going always. My mom sometimes tells us stories that she tells her kids at school when we eat dinner. One of my favorite stories is about a cat named Pete, or Pete the cat. And Pete is a very chill guy, and when something happens, he lets it roll right off his back and keeps on singing the song that he had made up in that particular book. Pete sings a lot in a lot of his books. In one of these books, Pete goes on a walk with his snazzy new white shoes and sings his song about his shoes. He's very proud about them, and on his walk, he steps in various colored things and ruins his new white shoes. But does Pete cry? Goodness, no. Pete keeps walking along and singing his song. That's actually what the book says. Like, that's quoting the book. At the end of his walk, he steps in water, and all the colors are washed off his shoes, and they are white again. I don't know why, but every book that she tells us about always has some sort of big life meaning that I didn't even know preschool books could contain. If Pete has taught me that, and I quote, "Stuff will come and stuff will go, but we keep on singing." And I think faith is like that too. In our lives, things will happen and they will eventually be forgotten, but we keep on believing that God is with us during times that seem tough. God reassures us that it's all good.
Hello, my name is Cameron Gregory. I'm a sophomore at Shirando High School, and my parents are Suzanne Gregory and Carla King, and my beautiful mentor is Miss Marion. My faith statement starts from a reading, Mark 9, chapter 23 through 24. "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." This one verse out of millions in the Bible sticks with me every second of every day. And the man goes on to say to Jesus, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." I had just gotten out of school. I was in first grade at the time. There was this girl in my class named Genevieve, and she was a Buddhist. She had this Buddha statue, and let me tell you, she carried that thing everywhere she went. So one day after school, I asked Nani, which is Carla, "Who made me?" And Carla replied, "Well, God made you." After a couple silent seconds, I then asked, "Well, who made Genevieve?" And again, Carla replied, "Well, God made her too." I was so determined, I answered with, "Well, I'm gonna tell her." Now imagine that coming out of a joyful, sassy little first grader. That one interaction was my first of many God experiences. It wasn't huge, but at least I started out on the right foot, as my mom would say. But it all started a little bit before freshman year. Keeping in mind that I'm a sophomore now, I had been at a school called Oakland. Oakland was a school for kids that had ADD, anxiety, ADHD, and many other brain disorders. I had learned many things from Oakland. It taught me that everyone has problems. I guess I felt kind of dumb and a little brainwashed that there was no such thing as a perfect life. Everyone has their ups and downs. Even the earth, work, rates, and bills have their ups and downs. It's the never-ending way of life, and I was just finding it out. That year, my faith was tested in many different ways. At one point, I had given up on God. I simply didn't believe. It sounds maybe a little funny that such a young boy should have feelings like this, but it's true. Being mad was all I knew, and God wasn't making my problems go away. Until one brisk fall day, I was cleaning up the church on the Oakland property. It was during one of my favorite core classes, which is English, and something hit me, nothing physical but mental. The thought that I was trying so hard to be a figure that I wasn't, I had left my family, God, and myself. For months, I had that feeling all the time, feeling of guilt, feeling of sorrow. How was I supposed to apologize to God? Meanwhile, as this never-ending war was going through my head, I had to try to smile and lie to my parents about how fun and how I believed in God and everything was about me. And I know that you're thinking, well, Cameron, just cut to the chase and tell them already. But I couldn't. I needed to wait for the right moment. Okay, fast forward a couple months. I'm sitting in church, actually listening to the sermon. I know. I should always be listening to the sermon, but this time it seemed every problem that I had was going, every problem I had in my life was going on, and it was being answered in the sermon. This went on for a couple of weeks, and I actually started to believe in God, and more of my faith was skyrocketing. Okay, fast forward a couple years, I'm in a car on my way to a place called Jersey. Never been there, never seen or stepped foot in a state called Jersey. Not knowing what I'm getting myself into, I again somehow find the Lord either standing or holding my hand through the tough, rigid work days helping his people. Jersey changed me in a good way. My eyes were slowly beginning to open and see God's work. A couple more months, I'm again sitting in a moving vehicle, but this time it's a bus and I'm heading to Detroit. God was making me go all these crazy places I've never even imagined needed help. It was a weird feeling, but strangely enough, I liked it. All these events were adding up in the positive God column. I was meeting new people, getting closer to the people at my church, and just having fun. Instead of having to apologize to God, God was apologizing for me. Through all of the crazy ups and downs, twists and turns, I've learned many new things. I guess that's just how being a teenager works. And now that I've been through an even crazier journey, to say the least, I know that God was holding my hand through everything, and I can finally feel at peace and be myself in the eyes of the Lord. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Connor Turrell. My parents are Eric and Donna Turrell, and my wonderful mentor is Charlie Moyer. First off, I'd like to say, Charlie, I've enjoyed you as a mentor. I knew from when you asked if I wanted to go to Sweet Frogs for our first meeting that'd be a great year. You have made a major impact on my Christian life because you're so knowledgeable and a great role model, and I'm so very thankful to have you as my mentor. So Charlie, thank you so much for what you do. And I'd also like to thank my mom and dad for being there for me along the way, and for my granny and pawpaw who support me through everything I do, from sports to church, and for coming here today. Also want to thank my mama and papal who couldn't make it because they were spreading God's words to inmates at a local jail. And here's my faith statement. If you don't know me, I'm a very superstitious guy. In baseball, I used to put my gloves in my helmet in my bag a certain way. And if I didn't get a hit or had a bad at bat, I'd switch my gloves. Before one game, My socks were inside out, and I had a great game. And then the next game, they were right side out, so of course I had to put them inside out. I wore the same pair of socks for every game, but then before one game, I couldn't find my socks. So I used a normal pair of Nike socks, and I had a good game. So now I wear them for every game. I also have my mom make me eggs for breakfast before games. Before one game, I had a belt that broke, and that game I hit a home run. So wearing that belt was a must-do thing. My parents were starting to think I was crazy. Maybe I am. At the start of confirmation, Charlie gave me one of the daily devotionals, which I read for months, and I was hitting great. And then for some reason, I stopped, and as time went on, my hitting wasn't doing very good. So I was thinking, what did I used to do that I don't now? And I remembered the devotionals. So one night before a game, I grabbed my devotional and flipped to a random day, and the verse of that day was Psalm 30, and it reads, "I will excel you, Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths, and you do not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me out of the realm of the dead and spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my whining into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praise and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever." The next day, I had a great game. Ironic, huh? So as you can imagine, I read this psalm the night before every game. At first, this psalm was just something I read in hopes of a good game. But while I was writing this, I read through the verse and realized how much it talks about the reason I read the devotional in the first place. Like, the first verse states that God has lifted me out of my struggles and doesn't let my enemies gloat over me. And I read the verse to get out of my struggles and conquer my enemies or even myself. Verse 2 states that I have called you for help and you've helped me, which is what I'm asking for from God. At the end of verse 11, it states you have removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, which is exactly what God is doing to me. This shows God's presence in the world, and through confirmation and learning more what it is to be a Christian, I have been able to see this more and more, unlike I used to. Before confirmation, going to church was just an every Sunday thing. I didn't know what was going on or even wanted to go. But through confirmation and going to all the youth events, going to church was more meaningful. I know what was being talked about in the readings and the sermons, and things just make sense now. And after realizing that and writing this confirmation, this faith statement, I have truly realized that I am a Christian.
You may be seated. Yesterday when we were doing practice, Donna said to them, now, it's just to warn them that I guess I have a habit of going, you know, when I hear something very, do I do that?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody knows I do that. Well, and she said it's kind of like Pastor Dave's amen. Well, I want you guys to know I was ooming all the time over here, and I turned off my mic and kind of did it like this, but I was doing that because the words you shared with us today were gospel. They were the word of God in this midst, in the midst of us, through the gifts that God has given each of you. in your own unique ways, each of you were able to witness to what Reformation is all about, which is the God using you and the created person that you are to impact other people's lives. And so thank you, not only for what you did today and the words you shared, but thank you for who each of you are. You are a blessed, unique, beautiful child of God who has been given so many gifts. And so again, we thank you and give thanks for your words today. I invite us now to stand as we sing.